Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? Well, excuse me. Today, I did some investigative work, and there is some evidence that, and some of the other commentaries I've read indicate that there was a gap between Paul's first visit and second visit in Rome. And just as a little bit of a background, reflect back to, let's start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, oh, good morning, Father. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for this time we get to spend in your word. Lord, help me to relay the information correctly and help me to know your will in all things. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So, we look at Acts 28:30, where we left off, we'll see that it says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him." And we kind of concentrate a little bit on the fact that his own hired house, which makes it sound like it's like rental property, like he wasn't in prison or anything. And based on a few other things that I've seen in the past, if you remember back when he was in Caesarea, that first he was under the control of Felix, Governor Felix, and then Festus came in, and that was in 60 AD. There's enough historical information that that's when that was, and so probably took about 4 or 5 months to get to Rome with all the shipwrecks and things, and then. He was, so it put it somewhere around 60 to 61 AD that he was in Rome for his first trial. And then it says 2 years in his hired home. So that puts it somewhere around 62 to 63 AD. But we do know that he was martyred as in 68 AD. And that, so this is kind of an indication that there's about 5 years there that we really don't know what he was doing. Based on Acts, but there is some evidence throughout his letters that gives us some clues, plus some of the people that were historians then, and even one of his disciples kind of indicate that he had further travels after the first trip to Rome. So I just reflect back that remember back in Acts 27. 24, when he had that vision from Jesus that said, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." And this is just prior to the, so we knew that he was going to appear before Caesar. So we know that according to that vision, that he did appear in front of Caesar, and that right after that point is when he was in his own hired house. So that gives an indication that he wasn't killed then. I guess as a review, the books that were his letters that were written, here's the time frames that they give, that they pretty much are set on, that during his 2 years when he was in Rome, he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And those four books were written from Rome, probably during this 2 year period that he was in his own hired house. And I probably just reflect one more thing. I never did get to verse 31 of Acts, and this is what it says. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So this is just more further proof that he wasn't in prison. He wasn't being held back by any law authority, it seems like, by that statement. This is the last word we get from Luke. And Luke's another interesting character that I may do a study on at some point, but back to so the next thing that we look at is in Philemon 1:22. Here he kind of indicates that he plans on visiting. And again, this book was written while he was in Rome. He indicates here to prepare some lodging for Paul because he plans on visiting. So again, this is that same period of time. And I just read it, but withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. So he indicates here that he plans on visiting him. And also in Philippians 1:19, he hints at being able to visit other people he's been to before. This is Philippi. And I'll just read it. It's Philippians 1:19-26. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Love that verse. It's so promising that we're gonna that once we leave here, that we'll be with the Lord. Going on, verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I will not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So actually he would like to go and be with the Lord. I think we all kind of feel that way, but we also know that we have work to do. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by my coming to you again. So that's where he indicates that he plans on coming to them. I got a feeling just by the tone of this is that this was probably written just prior or right at the same time that he was appearing to Nero the first time. So it was kind of like he wasn't positive, but he had a lot of confidence that he was going to survive that. We also have some historians that were pretty popular at that time, and later on. One of them was Clement. And in Philippians 4:3, it mentions him. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And this Clement went on to become actually the leader of the church in Rome. Let me bring it up. There's a paragraph, which I'll read, out of one of his writings. Again, this is not gospel or anything. I don't know if you can see that, but I'll just read it. This is out of, apparently, Clement, Paul's co-laborer, became the bishop of Rome in 88 to about 99. He died in 101 AD. And is one of the earliest Apostolic Church Fathers. Apostolic Church Fathers are men who have personally known one of the 12 apostles, or Paul, whose writings survive. And in his writing, there's a letter that he wrote. They call it First Clement. And in his writing in chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, this was written in circa 70. So that would be about 40 years after the resurrection and about 20 years after Paul wrote Romans. Bishop Clement writes, because of the jealousy and strife, Paul, by his example, pointed out the way to the prize for patient endurance. After he had been 7 times in chains, had been driven into exile, had been stoned, and had preached in the East, and in the West, he won the genuine glory for his faith, having taught righteousness to the whole world, and having reached the farthest limits of the West. And I take note on that particular term right there, reaching the farthest limits of the West. Finally, when he had given his testimony before the rulers, he thus departed from the world and went to the holy place, having been an outstanding example of patient endurance. So here he indicates that he knew of him surviving and going to the far reaches of the West. There's also one other person during this same time frame, a writer that wrote a lot during this particular time frame of the history of Rome in that era. His name was Eusebius. Now his writing is about from they dated to about 325 AD, so it's a little bit further from when Paul was there. But he obviously knew through either documents of that time or from people he talked to that Paul's martyrdom was not during the time in Acts. He makes mention in one of his papers. So in other words, that that period of time in Acts is not when he was martyred. So the next evidence is in Romans, and that's Romans 15:22, and this was written about 5 or 6 years before this period of time, and so I'll just read through it here. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Now this is a letter to the Romans, so he's talking to the Romans here. But now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whosoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. Otherwise, he's planning on, by that statement, he plans on coming to Rome on his way to Spain, is basically what he's saying there. I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thereward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. At first, he's got some other things to do. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. And if you remember, that's the when he went back to Jerusalem and this whole ordeal started with the Jews. And that's indicative of it when he went to cleanse himself in the temple, if you remember that story there. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Arcadia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And if you remember back that Jerusalem was having a famine at this point, so I think this is what was his driving force to go to Jerusalem, was that some of the folks over in Greece, particularly the Philippians, were very helpful in the ministry. So it looks like he was taking some donations back to Jerusalem. And he also had other reasons to go there. It has pleased them verily, and their debtors that are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Where therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. So his plan was to go to Jerusalem and then go to Rome and on his way to Spain. And I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. He kind of hints there too that that this sounds like what Christ had in mind also. We know about that vision. He mentions appearing in front of Caesar, and he doesn't really elaborate as to anything else that Jesus said during that time, that vision, but it could have also included Spain. Don't know for sure. And again, this is also a little bit of speculation. There's also this evidence in 2 Timothy 4:20. Now, just to refresh, it's believed that 1 Timothy and Titus were written after he left Rome, while he was en route to Spain and other places in his what we're calling the fourth missionary journey. And then 2 Timothy was written just before his death, his martyrdom, in about 67 AD. So in 2 Timothy 4:20, right towards the end, we read, Aretas abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. Now, I shouldn't have, a couple of weeks back, I had mentioned that this verse as being current. What I wasn't thinking about at that time is that 2 Timothy wasn't even written yet. 2 Timothy was definitely written from just before his death, as we'll see here shortly. So he hadn't even written this yet. So I couldn't, I shouldn't have used it when I did. It's more indicative of something that happened after Rome, after the first trip to Rome. So you see here, he mentions this Trophimus. I'm going to go on for some more information here. And in Acts 20:15, you'll notice here that he this is what I mentioned back when we were this would be during his third missionary journey before going to Jerusalem, and here in Acts 20:15, and we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios, and the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trolegium. And the next day we came to Miletus. Now this is the only indication prior to that last verse of 2 Timothy that indicates anything about Miletus. And we know based on some other verses in Acts 21:28 that this that was the only time he was in Miletus according to Luke. And remember we mentioned in Timothy, like Trophimus, have I left at Miletus? Miletus is just another spelling of Miletus, sick. So we're saying that that when he was in Miletus and during his third missionary journey is not the same time frame as that 2 Timothy 4:20, because he hadn't even written 2 Timothy yet. He hadn't even been to Rome yet. And then in Acts 21:28 is where he was in Jerusalem, and that Trophimus was mentioned again. And I'll just read here, starting in verse 28. Carrying out men of Israel, help. This is the man, now this is the accusations that Paul was under when he was in Jerusalem back at the end of his third missionary journey. Crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people in the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and have polluted this holy place. And in verse 29, for they had seen before with him in the city, that would be Jerusalem, Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. So that's indicative of showing that Trophimus was not in Miletus sick. He was actually in Jerusalem at the end of the third missionary journey. So that's just further evidence that that 2 Timothy passage is later on. But we see nowhere else that Paul ever went to Miletus again until now. And so when I get to what they believe, so that's the evidence that, that indicates that he didn't. It seems he had another trip based on some of these other verses that I just mentioned. So I'm going to go through a list of the verses that they believe was the order that he may have gone during his fourth missionary journey. And I remember he's at Rome. He's leaving Rome. It's about 62, 63 AD. And If you bring up the map, I don't know how well you can see this map. It's the only one I could find that kind of portrays it. If you notice that it starts at Rome, and you'll see a ship directly from Rome over to Tarraco in Spain. Now all these cities in Spain are just guesses. There's no comments about these at all. And Some believe he spent maybe 1 to 2 years in Spain. And then on his way back, he ended up on Crete again. And that's where I'm going to pick up the story of what the possible travel that he did during this journey. So leaving Rome, it's about 5 days over to Spain. And that was quite a common thing back then. A lot of shipping was done between those two ports. So that's why they believe that Tarraco could have been one of the spots that he landed at. This whole thing through Spain is just total guesswork. The next time we pick up any verses is in Crete. So this is the guess of they think that the travels was. Now remember Titus, the book, the letter of Titus was written during this period of time. So either prior to or during the travels that we suspect that he did. So in Titus 1:5, which I've mentioned before, but not what I should have realized is that when I talked to it before, like a couple of weeks ago, that he did stop in Crete, but that he hadn't written Titus yet. And so this indicates that he went back to Titus, even though he did leave, I think it was Timothy, if I remember correctly. Timothy or Titus, in Crete on his journey to Rome the first time. And here it indicates in Titus 1:5 that he went back. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou, no, actually Titus. And he's indicating here in past tense that he had left him there, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. So this verse kind of indicates that he went back to Crete during this trip. Now on to the next, and then of course back to 2 Timothy 4:20, we see that this is where he left Trophimus, have I left at Miletum sick. So we believe at this point that Trophimus had rejoined him, possibly from he might have been on Crete, or he could have been with him in Spain. Not sure where he rejoined, but here he did leave him in Miletum sick. And again, 2 Timothy was written after this point when he was the second time he was in Rome. So that's why it says it's kind of past tense. Then we have in Philemon 1:22, where he indicates that his plan to go to Philemon is in Colossae. So when he wrote this letter, he was asking Philemon if he could prepare him a place to stay while he was there in Colossae. So again, this was written from this book was written from Rome during his first imprisonment, or just after his first time of seeing Nero. And he's sending this letter to Philemon to prepare a place. So it sounds like he's planning on going there. So I think he went to Colossae next. And again, if I bring the map back, again, the guess being, if you can see Crete there, after he spent some time on Crete, he went up to Miletus. And this all kind of makes sense. He went over to Colossae. And we also see him coming back to Ephesus and then going up towards Tros and over to Philippi. And all these will make sense as I read them. And then over to Nicopolis. So back to Philemon. So let's say he went to Colossae. Then in 1 Timothy, he mentions going And again, we have to remember where 1 Timothy was written. And I was a little off when I read this the last time, a couple of weeks ago, because 1 Timothy wasn't written until he was in Rome the first time, or during this travel period. And so in 1 Timothy 1:3, we have, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." So this would be the second time that he was in Ephesus area. And he goes up into Macedonia, which is what I just mentioned, him going to Philippi and Troas. And we'll see some more evidence of those verses here coming up. Now, Philippi, we have in Philippians 2:23, "Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." Now, remember, Philippians was written during that time he was in the house at Rome. And so he's writing this letter to indicate that once he finds out how things are going here, that he plans on visiting them in the Philippines and Philippi. So we see that in 23 and also 24. "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." So again, indicating that he plans on going to Philippi again. I didn't finish reading the 1 Timothy passage. Also in verse 3, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus," yeah, "when I went into Macedonia." Okay. So we also have that we believe he went to Troas next. As you notice in 2 Timothy, again, this was written in his second imprisonment in Rome. This is one of his last letters. He indicates in 4:13, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." He's writing this to Timothy and hopes that, and we'll see this when we in a few minutes when we read his final statement, that he left his cloak in Troas at some time prior to this letter, and he wants him to bring it with him. So this would be indicate that he was at Troas, which was in Macedonia, as I mentioned in that map. And then on to Nicopolis, which is in Greece, over on the eastern shore. We notice here in Titus 3:12, he indicates that his plan is to winter in Nicopolis. So from Troas, it would seem to appear that he's going to leave Troas area in Macedonia and come down and prepare to go back to and spend his winter months in Nicopolis. So I'll read this, verse 12, "When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." So we think this may be when he got arrested again, sometime during this time frame, either in Troas or over in Nicopolis. And then again in 2 Timothy 4:10, we also mention when he mentions not 4:10, 4:13, where we just were, when he mentions needing the cloak, and now he's in Rome, that this sounds like winter also, because he's feeling cold and needs more clothes. So that's kind of a hint that it's still winter time. So about the same time frame. And this is 2 Timothy was figured to be written about 67 AD, based on other events. So on to his last, his final statement, which is recorded in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 22. And I'm just going to read through and make a few comments. It definitely sounds like he knows that his time is short and that he knows he's probably not going to be around much longer. Just as a little background, this is Nero was in charge during this time. He was in charge from 58 AD to about 68 AD, where he committed suicide. Maybe due to guilt for killing Paul, having him beheaded. But that in 64 AD, there was a fire in Rome that most believe he set because he wanted to build a new building, and there were some other buildings in the way. So he wanted those other buildings out of the way. That's the general theory. But instead, but the people were really upset about the fire. So to put the blame on somebody, he blamed the Christians. And at that time frame, the persecution in Rome got really, really bad. And so kind of indicative that like prior to 64, when Paul was released, things weren't so bad. You know, Christians have been persecuted everywhere that whole time frame, but it wasn't as bad as it was after 64 AD. So that's why some of this evidence seems logical that his second time there, Nero is blaming the Christians. So this would be when Paul ends up getting beheaded. And I think he knew the climate in Rome had changed since the last time he was there. Again, we're guessing he was arrested someplace in either right there in the between Tros, traveling through Macedonia to Necropolis. So I'll continue reading. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come unto me, come shortly unto me. So at this point he isn't, he doesn't know for sure he's going to be killed, but he's got a definite feeling. He's also feeling a little lonely. Some believe that he was in prison by himself. And that we'll see here in a minute, there's only most of the people have deserted him. Fear of their life, probably. For Numenius hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. This was a an area that we remember Titus was on Crete. It seems that during that trip also that he may have during this letter to 2 Timothy, somewhere he had already sent Titus under Dalmatia, and Dalmatia is in, I don't know if it's on that map that I showed you. No, it doesn't show here. If you see that word thrice, it's up there off of the Black Sea area. That's where I believe it's at, basically up above Philippi. And it's part of Creosia or somewhere in there somewhere. I'd have to look it up again. So reading on, verse 11, this is where, and only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And this verse got me really curious as to why this period of time isn't in Luke and isn't in Acts. But some believe that Luke may also have been in prison at this point, and that he had already finished Acts. Because you notice Acts, he doesn't mention anything about being in prison or anything. And so there's some indication that Luke was also martyred in Rome during this period of time, which would make sense because, again, Nero was just having all the, it was a really bad time. The Christians were being taken to the arena, and there was even some talk about them being lit on fire to act as candles for the Roman area. Really bad time, really bad. But here he's sending this letter to Timothy in hopes that Timothy is going to come and bring John Mark. Mark is the same individual that wrote Mark. And we may look at his life a little bit at some point. And bring with him, with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And this is that verse I pointed to when Mark was much younger, that he didn't want him on the journey, but at some point he did realize that Mark had changed and that he would be profitable for the ministry. And 4:12, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. And then again, here's verse 13, to bring the cloak with him. So he's cold. So it sounds like it's wintertime. The cloak that I left at Troas with Capris, but then comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. So it sounds like you want to do more writing too. Not sure that this ever happened. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, the Lord rewarding him according to his works. And we think this might be either that time that he was taken when he was upset with the silversmiths. This is coppersmith. There's another Alexander at that time frame. But it also could be indicative of that area in Macedonia where he was traveling. He could have had another run-in with the coppersmiths then. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So again, his first trip, you'll notice this is another kind of hint that there was two trips. Because his first trip, there was plenty of people there. He had people coming to the house, and he was worshiping with everybody, spreading the gospel there that 2 years he was in Rome. And here it indicates that there was nobody there. So it sounds like a different time frame. And when he stood with me, that sounds like when he went to trial the second time. And also kind of indicates that Luke was also probably on trial at this point. Because Luke wasn't even standing next to him, and we know he was there. Verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. This is an interesting verse because I couldn't correlate it to anything else, but it almost sounds like he was sent to the arena too, but wasn't killed at that point. So that may be at that he was at that after this point is when he was actually killed by beheading. So he might have wrote in 2 Timothy. Actually, he'd already been tried. They tried to execute him in the games. So they called it. Don't know. Guess we'll have to ask him when we get there. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's pretty much his last statement. He just finishes by mentioning a few other people. Salute Priscilla and Aquila. Now, I remember them from the past. We know they were actually in Rome for a period of time, and they were now over in Corinth area, I believe. And the household of Ephesus. Ephesus is another reference, I think it was in Philemon, that he was also in Rome at this period of time, and indicates that he found him, and it was hard to find him, but he did end up finding him. And so that may be how this final letter got out of Rome back to to Timothy, is through this Ephesus. Aratus abode at Corinth, but Tromius have I left at Millennium Sec. Remember that verse. I do thy diligence to come before winter. He Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. And again, this is indicative that maybe it wasn't quite winter yet, but it was close to winter time. So again, same time frame as when this trip could have happened. Lord Jesus Christ, be with you. Thy spirit, grace be with you. Amen. And that ends our look into Paul's journeys. And I hope that was as interesting to you as it was to me. I thoroughly enjoyed this little trip to learn a little bit about Paul. I know I learned a lot about Paul during this study. And I'm not sure we're going to, I was thinking maybe of start with Peter. I'll pray about it and see where the Lord leads me to maybe start for tomorrow. And so I'll end with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all the ministry of Paul. So much we learned about your word and about your character through the letters of Paul and through his ministry. And I thank you so much for enlightening us about all the promises you've made and kept through the writings that we now have in our Bible. Thank you, Lord, so much for this day. Be with everybody and give everybody a blessed day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I will see you all tomorrow. And if you guys got any suggestions of things you maybe want to look into, or areas you want to maybe kind of think about, write a comment. And I'll talk to you later.